My name is Tim Young. I'm one of the ministers at Houston's First Baptist. I am not David Self, if this is your first time. I promise you, it gets better from here. And so, hope you guys enjoyed the turkey and the dressing in anticipation for Thanksgiving next week. And a couple of days off for some of us, right? Yeah. All right, come on. You guys got to wake up a little bit now. Come on. It was the turkey. So when I go home, I can tell my wife, I wasn't boring. It was the turkey, darling. So, all right, let's pray, and then we'll get going. Father, we love you, God, and we just thank you for the opportunity to come and gather, Father, freely as your disciples, as followers of Christ, Lord. When God, we just ask now, Lord, that as we're stepping into just a season of absolute, sometimes chaos, and for some people, it's going to be just a real hard time because of family or friendships or just boredom. God, Lord, we just ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would rest over each of your believers, God, Lord, and make them a blessing to someone. And God, as we're coming now, God, Lord, we come with anticipation of celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, Lord, as we step into this season. And God, I just pray that this would be an opportunity for us to very freely and easily talk about why we celebrate Christmas, why we celebrate Thanksgiving. God, give us wisdom in that, and may we bless you, and may we honor you in all we do. It's in your holy Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And so, hey, David asked me if I would do something on Thanksgiving, and I really struggle with traditional kind of messages and stuff like that. And so don't think we're going to a funeral, but we're going to be looking at 23rd Psalms today. It's not a funeral, I promise you. One of the hardest scriptures for me to kind of comprehend or wrap my mind around sometimes in scripture is found in Romans 8:28. And it says this: we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. Now, that's a great scripture when everything is going good, right? Yep. How many of us have ever walked through a trial in our life? Whether it's because of our sin or somebody else's sin, but all of a sudden, our whole world just crashes down on top of us. Do we pull this scripture out and say, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord according to his plan and his purposes? And where this scripture really came to life for me was I was a student pastor, and you get that awful phone call that you never want to get. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I got a phone call. Justin's been in a car wreck. He's dead. And jumped in the truck, headed to a hospital, thinking, God, give me words. Give me something. God, help me out. God, your word says that all things work for the good of those who love you according to your plan and your purpose. How is this your plan, and how is this your purpose? And I mean, I was an absolute wreck, and I was angry at God for what was going on. But I'll tell you this, God took a tragedy, and we saw revival break out. The hard part was it cost the life of a 17-year-old kid. But years later, I began to realize that that was never God's will. I take that back. It was weeks later I realized it was never God's will for Justin to die in a car wreck. Justin was texting and doing 75 miles an hour without a seatbelt on. That's what happened to Justin. And I don't think that was God's will. I really don't. I think Justin made a mistake. Now, that led me to believe this, that no matter what happens in our life, it's not God's will, okay? But what this scripture tells us is that God can and will be glorified if we allow him. And we can be blessed through those things. And so, earlier this year, let me back up a little bit. 2 years ago, in January of 2018, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. Went through a surgical procedure, thought we had it, everything is great. He gets to full recovery, goes back in, has more testing done, and they find colon cancer again. So in January of this year, my dad had a second colon surgery. And then in January, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. Come on, God, what else? Right? You guys ever feel like that? But you know what? I grabbed a hold of this scripture. And I said, God, no matter what's going on in my life, we ask that you will be glorified through this. Now, it took a lot of faith for me to be able to grab a hold of this passage and not just hope it's right. Okay? My son, at the time, was 15 years old. We tell him what's going on. Hey, Listen, we know Peepaw's going through all this, and you're wide awake, and you know what's happening with Peepaw, and Peepaw's going to be good. There's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but he's going to be fine. But here's what's going on with Mama. Okay, cool. So she's fine? Yep, she's good, son. And we get the diagnosis. It's the best kind of breast cancer you can get. It's going to take a couple of procedures and maybe some chemo, maybe some radiation, maybe not, but everything's going to be fine. Mom's going to be good. There's like a 99% survivability rate. And of course, the mind of a 15-year-old, if you have a teenager, God bless you. It was a whole lot easier to be a youth pastor than it is to be a parent of a teenager, okay? And so you guys are warriors, and I appreciate you. And so my son pitches, and he's on the mound, and this is about 3 days after we have this whole conversation with him. And he's out there, and he's pitching, and strikes the first kid out looking. We're like, he's going to be in the pros, y'all. Do you see what he just did? You know, I'm a parent, whatever. And then the next kid hits this little dink shot right back at him. He picks it up and throws the kid out at first. And then all of a sudden, dad's like, oh, I got this. So he walks the next two kids because he thinks he's Greg Maddux or something like that. And then all of a sudden, a kid in the dugout yells out, your mom must be proud. All of a sudden, my kid went nuts. Kept it under composure, right? Two outs, he ends up giving it 5 runs on 1 hit. And twice he was headed into their dugout because he just wanted to go love on some people, right? No, he was ready to go throw down. And I didn't, you know, and I'm a parent, I'm up in the stands. He's at the age now where I'm just kind of sitting back and I'm letting him, guess what? It's time to develop who you are. You need to become a man and learn how to deal with adversity. And we never see him. At about the third inning, I get a text, hey, can you bring me a Gatorade? But yeah, not a problem. So I walk around the corner and I'm like, where's Thad? Somebody goes and gets, he comes around, he's bawling his eyes out, shaking, red as a beet, going, I'm going to beat somebody up, Dad. And I was like, bro, back off. And he's like, Dad, and a couple weeks later, we're having a conversation about that. He's like, Dad, I don't have your faith. And I said, nobody expects you to, but are you going to trust God, son, or are you going to trust yourself? And that, actually, that moment kind of began a whole lot of anger and bitterness in his life. And so, this last summer, we had a chance to do a mission trip, and we went up to Alaska. He went with us, and we're there. And have you guys ever been around the mountains? There's three things. There's a couple of things that we know about mountains. One, at some point, they get so high that there's a granite line, and nothing grows above that, right? Where's all the nutrients? The nutrients are in the valley. And I think sometimes we go through life thinking that we're going to live on this spiritual high where we're never going to be challenged and we're never going to have struggles. But the truth is, it's the mountaintop is a great place to go and look. It's a great place to go and to see amazing things, but nothing ever grows up there. All the nutrients and all the lushness and all of the things that cause growth and fruitfulness actually happens down in that valley, right? And so when I mentioned a while ago, we're going to look at 23rd Psalm. And at the end of the day, can we be thankful for the valleys that we end up walking through in life? If you're in one, you're probably going, Tim, I hate you, and I really don't want to hear this right now. Okay? And I don't know, it kind of seems like we're, you know, and I've heard it this, you're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Okay, Dr. Tony Evans said that, amazing. And for me, it's always the whole valley concept is what, I don't like storms, but I like mountains and stuff like that. They're a lot prettier to look at. So we're either in a valley, but we need to remember that we're being watched over. You're either coming out of a valley or you're walking into a valley. You know, and the truth is life sometimes is just really, really hard to no fault of our own. Sometimes it's just because of the fall of man. It's because original sin caused things to happen in this world that we have no control over. And sometimes it's due to the sin of somebody else. And sometimes it's because of our own sin, okay? And so if we look at 23rd Psalm, we're going to read through this, and then we'll kind of break it down. And like I said, I think that this should be on a birth announcement instead of every funeral thing you ever go to. I really do. Because guess what? I tell my daughter, guys, you're going to go through really difficult times in life. And you're going to have one thing that's constant, and that's Jesus Christ, okay? He's going to be there no matter what. Now, you may choose to walk away from him or drift back, but the truth is God's never going to leave you or forsake you. Would you guys agree with that? It's like in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? So, all right, let's go ahead. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 23rd Psalms. I'm pretty sure everybody in here is fairly familiar with it, whether it's, you know, I found my dad's lighter he got from a buddy in Vietnam, and it had, you know, 23rd Psalm etched into the back of it and stuff like that. You know, this is a passage that sometimes we hear during times of despair. But there's a couple of things that I want you guys to understand or look at. One, who is the shepherd? Jesus, it's God, right? And the truth is, the sheep follows the shepherd, right? The shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. And so in that, we know this, that the shepherd is leading the sheep into the valley, okay? And so when we think about that, first of all, John 10 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That was Jesus who said that. And he also said in John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. So we know the Lord, right? The Lord knows us, and the Lord is leading us through these valleys. This is finishing at verse 1 and verse 2 and 3, it says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So we know this. We know that the sheep lacks nothing, right? So we know that God is watching over the sheep, and God is providing rest, refreshment, restoration, and leadership. So when we're walking through these valleys, when we're walking through these dark times, this is an opportunity for us to recognize and see God's faithfulness in our lives. Now, the hard thing is to recognize the faithfulness in the moment. You know, because I think all of us, if we think back about a really painful period of time in our life, we may not be able to, in that moment, to be able to recognize and see God's existence, okay? But what happens when we come through that, we look back and we begin to see God's faithfulness throughout our valley time. You know, God's got this thing called providence. It comes from a word called provision. And that means he is providing for us before we even know we need what we need. He is putting things in order for his glory and our blessing before we even know what our needs are. You know, scripture says that we groan in our spirit. And God hears that. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And God knows what we need even when we don't need it, even when we don't know that we need it. So understand this, that when you're in that valley, that there is God preparing a place for you where he is going to give you a green pasture. I lost it. I'm sorry. I have ADD. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And the still waters is important because the sheep, God bless them, they're just not very smart. They fall into rushing water, they're going to drown, they're done. So God says, I have the perfect place designed, and I will make everything for you right there where you're at. And I got to tell you guys, when we walk through hard things, that gives us peace. Now, and what I'm not saying is that everything works out the way that you want it to. Okay, I want to be very clear in that. We're going to go through hard times, and sometimes our life is completely different 6 months than what it looks like today. But it's not without God's attention. You know, I'm not saying that we go through life where everything is just, you know, zippity-doo-dah, and a little bluebird lands on our shoulders and whistles with us as we walk on our way. But what I'm saying is that God will be there with us, and he won't leave us or forsake us, and he'll watch over us and protect us even in those things. And sometimes we don't know what God's protecting us from until we get to heaven. And at that point, I don't think I'm going to care anymore because we get to be in the glory of Jesus Christ in his presence. And so, you know, and if you would, I kind of wrote on here, it's when you think about what the Lord provides here with the rest and the refreshment, the restoration, the leadership, it's all for his name's sake. Have you ever known someone who is just going through an absolutely terrible time and you look at them and they have peace? They have joy? Where does that come from? That comes from the Lord. And I think God gives us those things so people can see how good we are cared for during tribulation. I'm telling you what, some of the most joyful people I have ever met have been people who have been in anguish. There are people who are giving, there are people who are caring, people who have the attitude and the attributes in God that we see in Galatians. They're people of peace, love, joy, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That doesn't come from them. That comes from a source, from their shepherd, from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and I put in here that it's like this Disney-style serenity that we're imagining here. You know, you see kind of like Snow White, you know, she's kind of sashaying through something, and there's just these lush green valleys and this beautiful water, and everything is gorgeous. That's kind of the image that David paints here in 23rd Psalms for us as believers in the middle of turmoil. And that's exactly what we're talking about. He says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we're looking here, we see the shepherd who's leading his sheep into the valley of darkness. And I thought to myself, why? Why is he leading the sheep into the valley of darkness? And I came up with two reasons. One, he's either taking that sheep to a better place. He's taking that sheep to greener pastures. He's growing that sheep, right? Or number two, he's taking that sheep home. The truth that we know is that the valley is not home, right? The valley is not our home. The despair that we find on this earth is completely foreign to us and our spirit, because our spirit, our residency is in heaven, it's in glory. And one day that hope will be fulfilled, right? So when we think about this, when we think about the rod and the staff we're very familiar with, that's the stick that goes around, you flip it over, it's a J, a candy cane, imagine a candy cane. That's the staff. And what does he do with that staff? That staff, he gently pulls the sheep. That's the staff that he kind of like uses for footing and all that stuff. And then he's got the rod. Are you guys familiar with the rod? Your rod and your staff. So the rod, I heard described this way, would be a sapling, and they would take it and they would cut the sapling off and they would dig the roots out to where there's a bulb on the end. They clean off all the roots, keep the bulb, they polish it up, they harden it, they stick pieces of metal in it. This is what they use whenever they're fighting lions, tigers, and bears. Come on, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, there you go, sorry. That's my youth ministry days coming back out, sorry about that. And so that's what he would use to defend the sheep. That's what he would use to destroy the enemy or to beat down the bushes, to make clear the path. This is what he would use for protection. So all of a sudden, now we have this image of our shepherd who was watching over us in the presence of our enemies with a staff to comfort us and with a weapon to destroy the enemy. So what you're going through is protected. Thank God for his protection in our despair sometimes. What we're walking through, I'm not trying to belittle anybody's struggles, because guess what? They're hard. But we're not walking through them alone. And we need to look for the Lord's presence in those things. You know, this prosperity gospel is an unfortunate thing. It's not the truth. We live in a broken, sinful world. We need Jesus. We need his comfort. We need his leadership. We need his people in our lives as well. Because you know what? Sometimes the shepherd will send other sheep to minister to us. We need to receive that. And sometimes we need to be that sheep that goes to minister to other people who are hurting and suffering as well. And so let's see here. I had a quote. I want to read it to you. And this is from Martin Luther, Protestant reformer. He said this, and tell me if this sounds, this shook me to the core of who I was, because you know what? I live in a world where I pray for protection over my children. I live in a world where I pray for protection over me. I live in a world where I pray that God, you would protect your people. God, that you would just give them a life that's on easy street, right? I'm asking God for a mountaintop life, okay? Why? Because I don't want to be bothered by junk, right? So this is what Martin Luther said. He says, the kingdom of heaven is to be in the midst of your enemies. That totally ruined me. The kingdom of heaven is to be in the midst of your enemies. And he who will not suffer this does not want to be of the kingdom of Christ. He wants to be among friends, to sit among roses and lilies, not with the bad people, but the devout people. Oh, you blasphemers and betrayers of Christ, if Christ had done what you were doing, who would have ever been spared? Man alive. Wait a minute, God, I'm supposed to protect myself from the evil people. I'm supposed to put a big wall up. You know, and I used to jokingly, you know, the hermits during the Middle Ages that would wall themselves up in caves and they would live so that they could live a pure life, right? Who did that benefit? No one. And so when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are in the presence of our enemies, okay? And what we need to do is we need to begin to recognize that that's an opportunity for ministry for us. And so if we desire to live in this completely sanitized, pure world, we're losing the opportunity to do one of the things that God has called us to do, and that is to go make disciples. That is to love the unloved. That is to love people who are not like us, to love the broken and to minister to them. I've got a good buddy of mine who does a homeless ministry up in Conroe, and he was sharing one time how they bring these guys in, and sometimes they get up the next morning and they go into their shop and half their tools are gone, and they go down to the pawn shop and they buy their tools back. And this guy says, "Don't you get sick of being taken advantage of?" He's like, "How many times have I taken advantage of Jesus?" I thought, "Brother, why you got to be like that?" Yeah. I said, "Dude, that's just ouch," you know? And he says, "Man, we want to love these people. We want to minister to them. Most people hate them. They don't really hate them, but they don't exist, which is worse, you know?" He says, "Man, we want to love the unloved, and we want to minister to people who have no hope." And I thought, man, that dude, brother, there's a place in heaven for you. What a big old mansion, you know? So, yeah, but so when we're walking through this valley, guys, sometimes that's a normal part of our lives. When we walk through despair, when we walk through, I don't know what kind of job I'm going to end up having. I don't know what my health report's going to be. We can't walk in fear because we have a shepherd with us who's watching over us and he's protecting us, and he has comfort and punishment coming, right? And so that should excite us to be able to say, "I'm not really happy about being in this valley of darkness, but how's God going to be glorified in my life, and how can I grow in him?" And, you know, it's hard. I'm not saying it's not. It's hard. And so, but he also says this, he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And what we're seeing here is, you know, with the Martin Luther thing, let's make a dot, connect the dots here, because I got excited and just had to read that a little bit early, that Jesus wants us to thrive in the presence of our enemies. Because guess what? We were once like that. We were once that way. We were once like that, but we've been redeemed. And now we have something new that we're living for. And we've got a God that we get to serve. And so in the last part says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is our home. This eternity is our home. And my 11-year-old daughter, she came up to me last week and she goes, "Dad," I said, "Yeah, babe." She said, "Heaven sounds kind of boring." I said, "I have a much different perspective, darling." and speaking of the funeral announcements, the older I get, the more beautiful heaven becomes. Because my mom's there. My granny's there. I have friends who are there. I have other family members who are there. And I have a father-in-law who... I could just imagine he was crippled his entire life that I knew him. He's going to be jumping up and down saying, "Come on, let me show you the king." And old Roy's going to beat me there, you know? And so when we think about this, do we live with our eyes set on eternity? And when I leave here today, what difference will I make for eternity? Or am I just worried about getting through today? Am I living with forethought in this valley of darkness in the presence of my enemies with God will be glorified and I get to bless people through this? You know, I mentioned my son, angry, angry, angry. "Thad, you need to go talk to your mom." "Why?" "All she's going to do is yell at me." bro, your mom's going through a tough time right now. Well, I'll give you guys kind of an update on that. About a month ago, he comes in the kitchen and he says, and my son's 6'4", 250. He's a little bit taller than I am, but I'm a little fatter. So I got him in one place. And so he comes up, he goes, Dad. I said, yeah. He started crying. He goes, will you just pray with me? I said, come here, babe. And dude, he hugs me and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know? And man, I just pray. I said, what is going on? He said, Dad, my heart is so hard. I'm so bitter. I'm so angry at God. I thought if God would give my mom cancer, he's not real. If God would do this to my grandpa, then he's not real. And he goes, I can't do it anymore, Dad. I'm just so angry and bitter and I'm hurt. And man, we just began to pray. And since that night, we have been doing a Bible study together, a devotion every night. I walked in, I caught him reading his Bible. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? Do we need to have a talk, you know? I'm like, are you on drugs? You know, no. You know, and my heart is overflowing. My wife called me this morning. She's like, what is going on with Thad? What's wrong with him? I said, man, he's doing good. She's like, he's different. And I said, I know. She's like, I came in the house the other day and he hugged me. He said, Mom, I'm so sorry for what I've done. Because we would be sitting there and like she did her last chemo. That's a big celebration, right? Amen. You just had 20 weeks of chemo. Thad, we want you to come to Mom's last chemo treatment. I think I got a test. I can't come. Everything it took, I mean, you're talking about my wife. I will tear you up, son. You know, at least I'll try to. But then he would walk in a room. I kid you not, her entire chemo time, he never said, hey, Mom, how are you doing? Do you need anything? He never once walked up and hugged her and says, Mom, I love you. You got this. And that, my wife, it just was broke her, you know? But it's amazing what God does. And I told him from the very beginning, Thad, I don't expect you to have my faith, but this is an opportunity for you to build your faith, you know? And so God has been amazing. And even if things don't work out the way they do, like when my mom died, guess what? He's still amazing because he's given us a home and he's given us a hope. So let me review this with you real quick. Nothing grows on top of the mountain. It's a great place to go. It's a great place to visit. But at some point, we got to come down from that. Okay? Everything that grows, it grows in the valley. And as hard as it is, let's be thankful for the valley. Let's be thankful for those times when God shows up and proves his faithfulness to us. And when you're in the valley, you're being watched over. When you're exiting the valley, you're praising God. And when you're walking into the valley, remember who's leading you and watching over you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, God, Lord. It is because of his sacrifice, God, that we can know you, that we can become heirs to the throne of grace, Lord, and I thank you for that, Father. And I just pray for every person who's in this room, God, Lord, everyone who will listen to the podcast or whatever it is, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Father, and you would remind them that you are actively involved in what is going on in their life right now. Father, give them hope if they're hopeless. Give them encouragement if they're in despair. And Father, I pray that you would send people into their lives, Lord, or you would use them to minister to someone else. God, bless us with your presence. And Lord, may we honor you in all that we do, Lord. As we step into this time of Thanksgiving, Lord, help us just let us step back and remember your faithfulness when we didn't think there was anything else. God, bless the rest of our afternoon and may you be glorified in all we do. It's in your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.